It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, our business contributor, Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, is speaking with Peggy Uten, the executive director of the Bayer Center for Nonprofit Management at Robert Morris University, about the business of nonprofits and how the nonprofit sector enhances the business environment in our region.
So let's talk about how the nonprofit sector contributes to a favorable business environment in our region.
Excellent. Thank you for the question. Well, we all live here, don't we, Rebecca? And we live here in part because we love the quality of life we have in Pittsburgh. And what do nonprofits do to contribute to the quality of life? Well, let's see. This week I'm going to see Other Desert Cities at the Public Theater, a nonprofit. I'm looking forward to going on a kayak on the river, Vibe Venture Outdoors, summer camps at the Carnegie Science Center for kids of all different ages, and quality care for elderly people who are living with their children who work full-time and want to be assured that mom or dad is in really excellent hands. So these are the quality of life, the safety net, the joy of living in Pittsburgh is greatly contributed to by nonprofit organizations. We also, as business people, think about attraction and retention of employees. And we know for sure that one of the reasons that people move to Pittsburgh is because of arts and culture, because of schools, because of many nonprofit organizations. And they stay here because they grow to love Pittsburgh, in part because of what nonprofit organizations contribute. Also, volunteer activities. One of the things we really nurture and work with at the Bayer Center for Nonprofit Management at Robert Morris is nonprofit boards. Nonprofit boards provide great leadership development opportunities for business people. One of the things I admire and respect about our business community is how actively they seek community service in a variety of different ways, whether it's painting a fence on a day of giving or joining a nonprofit board. Greg Babe, who was CEO of Bayer USA, and of course we love Bayer USA. We are the Bayer Center.
The name is familiar, I think, yes.
Right. Well, Greg Babe, when we were talking to him about our program to train and place business people in particular on nonprofit boards, it's called Boards Work. Mm-hmm. Greg Babe said, this is a great thing because my staff, my employees will learn how to lead a meeting, how to advance an issue, how to work with a diverse set of people, and they'll bring it right back to their workplace with them and put it to work for Bayer. So there's just so many ways that I feel nonprofit organizations contribute to the life that business people want to live in Pittsburgh.
So I'm going to jump right to the next question on the trend that you just started, which is I often hear people say, they're just a nonprofit, so they don't need to operate like a business. Okay. How do you respond to this, Peggy? Because I think as you brought in the Bayer Corporation and businesses, I think we really need to talk about this.
Absolutely. Thank you for the question. And let's start with that just in the words, just a nonprofit. There is no less than in nonprofit activity and nonprofit work. The jobs are very challenging and getting more so with each passing funding cut. I have worked all of my career in nonprofit organizations, Rebecca, so I have a bias and I recognize it and I acknowledge it.
We like your bias. Yeah, okay. Peggy, we accept it.
Well, I'm sitting in WESA, which is a wonderful nonprofit organization in our community, which contributes greatly to my quality of life, may I add. But the fact of the matter is we are businesses. This is a crazy argument to say they're not supposed to be businesses. We pay people. We pay our utility bills. We pay printers and web designers. We pay caterers and attorneys. But the difference for nonprofits is, of course, we have a dual bottom line. We have to be fiscally sustainable and fiscally responsible, but we also have to meet our mission every single day. And so we have to change lives for the better, as well as be able to be sure that we can pay our bills. Nobody owes us a living, Rebecca. There are no invoices in fundraising. We are here to do good work that is worthy of support. And we really believe that it matters that the results are there in every nonprofit's work, that there's a clear return on investment in the nonprofit work, just as there is in for-profit. But it's harder to measure and maybe a little elusive to see on occasion because nonprofit missions are bigger than Texas and hopeful beyond all belief.
I really understand what you're saying, and I think that's a very important concept. But the day-to-day work, as many of us know who work in nonprofits, is very business-driven. And I think that your point is very well taken, and that people who serve on the board of boards of directors of nonprofits certainly understand that, and those of us in the business certainly do as well. So let's switch focus a little bit and talk about how many people work in regional nonprofit organizations in our region, and really the impact on the GDP here.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, when you make a business case, and we do, as you very correctly say, have to make a strong business case if we're to be competitive and successful. I found it quite interesting to find the Forbes Funds did a study a few years ago that showed us that there were 300,000 people working in nonprofits in this region. We have a very lively and vibrant nonprofit sector here. We have about 7,500 organizations, and about 75% of those 300,000 people are women, something that we'll be talking about again and throughout this conversation. So one of the things that people often talk about is, are there too many nonprofits? Do we just have too much competition, too many places to go? And it's certainly true that we have to have effective and efficient nonprofits. We don't need a number. We need good ones. We need quality ones. But I would say, do we say we have too many small businesses? I don't think we have that same conversation.
I would never say that. I always want to grow and develop more small businesses.
Because
so
they're close to the
you.
Ground.
That's right. They do the groundwork. They're there. They're servicing people. They're helping people. And certainly if you have a good economic model, whether you're for-profit or nonprofit, you will succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the community-based small nonprofit contributes a tremendous amount to sort of taking the pulse of what's really happening in our community and posing solutions that will work because they're rooted in reality and in what's actually going on around them. You also asked me about the GDP, and I think many of your listeners may be surprised to know that nonprofits contribute 14% of the GDP. We are an economic force and an important part of the nation's economy. You know, we get that money. That money is from the budgets, the operating budgets.
Right.
It's also the salaries paid to people who work in nonprofits. I regularly stimulate our economy by buying shoes at Littles.
We were just talking shoes prior to the show,
yes.
So I totally understand.
We are economic contributors in many ways, both as individual nonprofit employees and as nonprofit organizations.
That's really interesting, and certainly the organization that we grow and inspire, they will in turn turn the economy as they do their own spending. So you
mm-hmm.
really have a strong trickle-down effect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very interesting. So as you look at nonprofits and you think about talent retention, how has the growth sector grown over the last 30 years? Who leads nonprofits, and how do we really look at maintaining the best of the best?
Yeah, really good questions. Thank you. So the growth, enormous. In about 1980, when Ronald Reagan became president of the United States, he began a conversation about devolution. Mm. Devolution meant moving services to people or citizens that had been delivered by government agencies to nonprofit organizations. The baby boomers, who are a big part of our story here, were just coming into the beginning of their work life at exactly this same moment, and nonprofits have at least quadrupled
wow.
since 1980. And the stakes for society in how successful nonprofits are have gone up exponentially because they are being trusted, as I said, with our young, our old,
right.
In many, many ways. So the issues around talent, attraction, and retention are often not nearly carefully enough addressed by nonprofit organizations. One of the places I look to our business friends to help us with is, boy, are they on top of talent retention and attraction.
Absolutely.
Everybody I talk to in business has a strategy. They have incentives. They have a plan because they know that your business is your people. Well, that is at least equally true in nonprofit organizations where programs are delivered by human beings that need to be really good at what they do and not only able to deliver the program but evaluate the service and make a case for additional support. So it's a sophisticated, complex use of talent that I think often is minimized and seen as just sort of a feel-good or a do-good kind of a job. And I don't agree with that assessment in any way, shape, or form.
And nor do I. And I've worked in nonprofits most of my life as well. And it's a hard, grueling, intense, enervating work, but certainly it's a job.
Yes, it's a job.
It's a
Absolutely.
Job.
As my brother would say, if it wasn't hard, they wouldn't need you, would they, Peg?
I can attest for that. I've seen you in action, Peggy. Well, that is really important, and we really appreciate our time with you today. And we'll continue this conversation next week, focusing upon the 74%, which, as I understand, is something that you're really working upon, which is the number of women who work in nonprofits. So that's going to be a very interesting conversation, and we look forward to continuing it next week. Thank you, Peggy.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. To hear any of our shows or segments from our programs, you can go to our archive at wesa.fm. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you again next time on Essential Pittsburgh.